Welcome to Security Architecture Podcast, where we help cybersecurity professionals to stay ahead of the curve and ensure they are successful in their cybersecurity journey.
Hi, I'm Evgeny.
I'm Dimitri.
Today, we're starting Season 5 in Security Architecture Podcast. This season, we'll be focusing on cloud security, and we'll be talking about CNAPP. We have a friend and a very good analyst in the industry, Fernando, to talk today about the topic and kind of explore more what does it mean.
Hello, everyone. Fernando Montenegro. I'm an analyst with Omdia, and I've been covering cloud security in its many shapes since, 2017, give or take, at different firms. I happen to be local and good friends with both Dmitry and Evgeny. So when we were planning to do this, I can't believe how happy I was with the idea of having fun with my friends and discuss a topic that's so near and dear to me. So this is awesome. Thank you.
Amazing. Fernando, very happy to have you here. And let's start with our questions.
Sure, go ahead.
So we'll start with the question, what is a CNAPP? But before we start explaining that, let's also talk about the acronym soup that was created around this topic.
Okay, so let's think about it this way. The security industry has had acronyms for the longest time, right? We've from SASE to XDR and EDR and everything in between. Cloud security has a ton of them. And the ones that people have heard probably more often, one of them would be CSPM, stands for Cloud Security Posture Management. It's the idea that I'm going to evaluate the posture of my cloud estate. I'm going to look at the configurations and make sure that everything is according to policy. What that means later, we can discuss later. That's CSPM. And around the same time, there was another one called CWPP, Cloud Workload Protection Platform. And the idea behind cloud workload protection is, okay, I have some sort of compute running on my cloud estate, whether that be a VM, whether that be a container, whether that be a serverless function, whatever it is, I have some workload running. How do I monitor it during runtime? This would be very analogous to what we do with endpoint detection response, for example. Like, how do you monitor what's running in your environment and how do you report on it? So that's CWPP, Cloud Workload Protection Platform. And a couple of years ago, another industry firm came up with the term CNAPP, Cloud Native Application Protection Platform, which includes both functionality from CSPM and functionality from CWPP, as well as a bunch of other stuff. We can get into it as well. But we do have this acronym soup. If you come across the CSPM, CWPP, they go into CNAPP. I do want to mention right alongside those first two is CASB, Cloud Access Security Broker, which is, yes, it's related to cloud, but it's different. It's solving a different problem than CSPM and CWPP. So best way to help the audience is think about CSPM and CWPP kind of feed into CNAPP along with other things. CASB kind of sits by the side a little bit.
It's a good time to mention season one when we capture the SASE and SSE, and season two when we spoke about all the ways, different shapes and forms we can inspect traffic. So go watch there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So let's spice up a little bit the soup with a few more ingredients.
Sure.
There is also the DSPM. There is the CIM.
There are more things we can add, right? And one of the things that's super interesting about CNAPP is that, why does it exist? It's trying to solve the problem that organizations have with securing cloud. And you start with, if you will, you start with CSPM. Hey, are my things configured right? Do I have what I need for the right configuration? Am I buckets open or not open? Am I requiring the right privileges of my users and so on? From there, what has expanded is that there are other needs. You brought up a couple of acronyms. One is DSPM, Data Security Posture Monitoring, right? So how is the data that I have out there? This is different than the cloud configuration. How are the different ways I can store company data out out there. It might be in a bucket. It might be in a database. It might be in a SaaS application, what have you. How am I monitoring where my data is, how secure it is, and so on? I'm simplifying it. I apologize, but that's the SPM category. The other one you mentioned is CIEM, which stands for Cloud Infrastructure and Entitlement Management. And that one is tackling a really interesting problem. CIEM is a term that's very popular. We at Omdia, we use CPM, Cloud Permissions Management. And the idea is, how are you monitoring what the permission sets are for the different identities that exist in cloud? Because one of the problems we've had in cloud is that sometimes you give too many permissions to something, and when that something gets compromised, someone can exploit those permissions and do lateral movement, privilege escalation, and so on. I'll go back in time here. Do you remember how, when we were all doing Unix, permissions 777, you don't give 777 permissions to something, right? And for those in the audience who may not remember or may not have grown around with it, it's the idea that it's read, write, execute, right? You give all the permissions possible. You would do that to solve a problem. Hey, okay, I need to fix it. It's not working. 777, off you go. The same thing happens in cloud sometimes, right? It's the idea that, I'm going to give this particular identity, whether it's a person or a process, I'm going to give it permission to read any S3 bucket or to read any database. And then next thing you know, that particular identity gets compromised, and now you have a big problem in your hand. So those would be a couple of the other acronyms. But listen, we can talk acronyms days on end, right? There's SSPM, which is SaaS Security Posture Management. There's KSPM, Kubernetes Security Posture Management. The list goes on, right?
I kind of wanted to ask you about the history, but you went over the history, so we're not going to ask you about the history. I do want to ask you in this case about on-prem.
Okay.
So CNAPP is related to a cloud, but can it be that I use CNAPP on-prem as well?
Yes and no. So cloud native, this points to a conversation that goes down rat holes. Cloud native application protection, the platform, right? The majority of use cases people think about is, how do I deploy my application on a cloud environment? But CNAPP, cloud native application protection, can also refer to an application that's built with cloud native principles, but is deployed on premises. I think that we see all of the large cloud providers, they have, for example, the opportunity of running local nodes that have the same technology. You can run Kubernetes and containers, et cetera, on premises, tied to the cloud control plane. So I'm going to use that as an example, but it could be Azure, could be Google, could be others. In AWS, you have the notion of outposts, right, which are basically pieces of equipment that get shipped to your data center, and you connect them to the AWS control plane, and you control them as if they were part of AWS. Well, that's on-prem, right? You can apply some of the same, you can run not all, but a lot of the same workloads on an outpost, for instance. But I think your question might be more about on-premises, non-connected, right? This is the area where we do see some capabilities here, and it varies by organization. It's very common to see people deploy platforms, and I'm using the word liberally, platforms such as Red Hat OpenShift or SUSE Rancher or the original Docker Enterprise, etc., where you have an on-premises deployment of a cloud-native stack where you can then deploy your applications on-premises. VMware, for example, has Tanzu as well. And you can use some of the CSPM and CWPP and CNAPP configurations or features to control those environments. But then you start getting into, does a specific product or vendor support that or not? How do they support on-prem is something that vendors are trying to differentiate on. And on top of that, you have the dynamic where those platform vendors, they themselves are offering security capabilities. So, for example, I'm going to use Red Hat OpenShift as an example. OpenShift builds on top of Kubernetes, has its own security model around it. But then a few years ago, to talk about history, our Red Hat acquired a company called StackRox. And StackRox became Red Hat OpenShift Advanced Security for Kubernetes, or Advanced Kubernetes Security. I forget what they call it, right? Which is security features on OpenShift. Could be on-prem, could be on cloud. I'm using Red Hat as an example. Like, analysts don't endorse vendors, but it's a short answer to your question is it depends.
If you're thinking about CNAPP as type of relative wrapping around CSPM and CWPP.
And others.
What would be the common features that you would expect from CNAPP?
We talked already about the CSPM and CWPP. You expect your CNAPP platform to be able to scan your cloud environments, right? Plural. We absolutely expect a typical CNAPP to support at least two, if not all three, of the major cloud providers, and then others as well, sometimes on-prem. You absolutely want some sort of workload protection, and that workload protection and monitoring runtime, you expect it to be able to support virtual machine workloads. You expect it to support containerized workloads, either as containers directly, which we don't see as often, or really as part of a Kubernetes deployments, Kubernetes clusters, right? So you want a little bit less, but you also want it to support serverless functions, whether that be AWS at Lambda or Azure Functions or Google Functions and so on, or Knative, if you're running on Kubernetes. We've been talking a lot about the configuration and we're talking a lot about the runtime. The other piece of CNAPP is how does it fit into the development pipeline. I think that there's one thing that everything is happening in cloud right now. It's the notion of everything as code. We're doing infrastructure as code. We're doing policy as code. We're doing security as code. Everything as code. So how you do security in that pipeline is super important. And a lot of the CNAPP platforms start to integrate the capabilities of doing IAC scanning. You want to be able to scan those templates to make sure that they don't have vulnerability. You want to be able to integrate some level of software composition analysis so that you can pick up what are the different software components that your application is using to deploy to cloud at some point. And that composition analysis can also include secrets management, for example. Are you hard coding secrets in your application? And if it sounds as if I'm starting to talk about AppSec, that is very much on point. It is this very close overlap between CNAPP and application security tooling and technology. The other one I'll add is, we talked about it briefly, CIEM or CPM. So you absolutely want your CNAPP capability to be able to help you sort out privilege and identities on cloud. And we could spend probably a season on CIEM alone, just in terms of the complexities that exist there about how do you actually compute permissions and so on and so forth. But long-winded answer to say that CSPM, CWPP, CIEM, CPM, some sort of infrastructure scanning, some sort of software composition analysis, right? And then there's adjacencies around it we can also add as well.
How feasible is all these features will be under one vendor?
Not only you have this dynamic of how will all of these features be under one vendor, but there is a super interesting dynamic happening in industry right now, which is CNAPP is looking at all of these problems as a bundle. Like, hey, listen, I have workload runtime problems. I have configuration problems, or challenges, I should say, not problems. I have identity challenges. I have software composition challenges. I want one solution to handle it all for me with different levels. That's one way to handle the problem. The other way to handle the problem, and it is going to vary by organization, is it's not that you have a cloud identity problem that you need a CNAPP for. It's that you have an identity problem on cloud So you're going to use your identity management tooling, whatever that may be, to handle cloud. It's not that you have a cloud vulnerability management problem, it's that you have a vulnerability management problem on cloud. So you can look at Synapse as one of the, as bundling all of those things together. And I'll get back to your question about one vendor doing it all. But you can also look at it as the different vendors that the company may already have for solving different problems, picking up little pieces of the cloud for their own use. So for example, firewall rule configuration, et cetera, on cloud could be under a CNAPP, right? Or it could be under a traditional firewall management platform that happens to support cloud environments as well. But to answer your question more directly, different vendors have different strengths, right? And it's to customers to evaluate what are the features they value most and then pick out from those. Right? There is a lot more to CNAPP than what we're talking about. And there is no expectation that a single vendor is going to be best of everything. Absolutely not.
When you were talking about people that are using the solution, you mentioned developers. Are they the only people that are using the solution, or there is probably more that people are going to be the end user of CNAPP?
I know we talk a lot about technology. I am particularly interested and fascinated by the organizational dynamics within the end user organizations that are buying this. Because up until now, we've been doing all of our security buying, if you say, through information security, right? Maybe sometimes the network team would buy the firewalls. Maybe sometimes the endpoint management team might buy the endpoint agent, but usually security does the buying, right? We see that still exists and that probably will persist, but we definitely see a scenario where what security teams are buying with CNAPP, they are setting it up, but the main users of the tool will be multiple groups. It will be the security team themselves because they have to operate and run it and run reports on compliance, for example. But it will also be the cloud engineering teams that are going to take the output of those tools, of the CNAPP platform, because they are the ones who are going to fix this. It's not going to be security teams fixing cloud vulnerabilities. It's going to be cloud engineering teams fixing cloud security vulnerabilities, cooperating with security. And the question becomes, okay, what does that cooperation look like? And that is a phenomenal topic and to handle. I mean, just as a side note, I think the first time I met Dmitry in person was, and we spent hours discussing the finer points of DevSecOps. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, to answer your question, security are the main buyers of CNAPP, but they're not the only users. We expect to see development teams to use that output. Also, sometimes you can have other, particularly like management layers, if you want to have some dashboarding or graphics or whatnot on, about how cloud is going, but primarily security teams.
I think, Fernando, I have a question. Now, taking into account the modern cloud implementation for some companies, that having hundreds of thousands of cloud objects that's spanning across multiple cloud accounts, that's spanning across multiple cloud providers, how hard would it be to implement CNAPP, especially if you need now to bring multiple vendors and somehow stitching together on the cloud?
That is absolutely the key thing that we don't talk about too much, which is how complex is it to get into this? And it's funny, I was having a conversation today with someone and on exactly the operationalizing cloud security. And one of the biggest challenges is that we are changing the notion of what the boundaries are for applications, right? So for example, in our traditional world of data centers and whatnot, you have one big firewall controlling access to different VLANs and so on and so forth. And in cloud environments, the boundary has shifted. It's not necessarily one big VPC. I'm going to use AWS terminology. It could be VNets, could be others, right? But it's one big VPC. It's going to be lots of little ones. Sometimes the account boundary, the boundary is not even the VPC. Sometimes the boundary is the account, right? So the way that this has to work is a very close collaboration between the security team and others deploying the CNAPP solution, then finding out what are all of the organization, what's the footprint that the organization actually has. One of the more interesting developments in cloud security, I think, over the past couple of years has been this approximation between cloud native security and FinOps, like the financial operations, because it's super interesting because at some point bills have to get paid. So how do you find out which accounts the organization has? Well, you have to work with accounts payable to figure out what are all the accounts that we have and make sure that those are reflected there. So when you talk about hundreds of accounts, thousands and thousands of objects across providers, you are absolutely right. It is integrating this is a big challenge, and it should be handled as such. It shouldn't be, hey, security person, go do this by yourself.
Let's switch gears a bit and let's talk about metrics versus technology. So as we explain right now, there's a lot different features come under CNAPP. So what kind of metrics should exist for the CISO that they know they have a good ROI? And in the same time, how you go and explain to a board of directors or board in the company, what is it you need CNAPP?
Let me tackle this in the reverse. I would say that the relationship between a CISO and their board shouldn't necessarily have to involve the CISO justifying every single line item in their budget, right? So if I as a CISO have to, and I'm working with my board, I will have crafted cybersecurity strategy, a cybersecurity program that includes dozens, if not hundreds of different elements, and I'm presenting my program to the board. The point is, I don't think CNAPP as a term has to make its way to the board. The board doesn't need to know about CNAPP, right? The board needs to know that you have a cybersecurity program that is executing on a strategy of managing risk according to organizational appetite. So yes, I'm taking the easy way out and saying that it doesn't, right? I'll take the easy way out on the next one too, which is to argue that the metrics that the CISO needs for any security tooling, right? And here, it's not my creation. I'll quote Richard Syerson, who has done a lot of work around the metrics. And he actually has a phenomenal book, came out last year, The Metrics Manifesto. Really interesting, right? And he talks about different types of metrics, but basically they boil down to, do I have the proper asset coverage? Am I covering enough of my estate? Dimitri, this goes exactly to the question you asked, how confusing this is. What should I have there? So one of the metrics should absolutely be, how much coverage do you have? The other is a burn down of the backlog. We have security issues. Security issues exist. There is no perfect security, period, right? Let's get that out of the way. So one key metric we should be tracking is, how quickly am I eliminating the issues that are coming up? Is something living for a week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks, 8 weeks, 5 months, a year? So burn down of your backlog is a type of metric, right? You absolutely should track, how much is your attack surface growing or reducing? Hey, all of a sudden I have 5,000 new storage buckets that I didn't have before. Well, you should know about that, right? And how exposed are they, and so on. You should also handle the, how much time is it taking you to handle things? Are you getting better at resolving the issues that you have? In other words, yes, you're burning down your backlog, but it's taking your team so much effort. And then the final one is, are you making the best return that you can on the security investment? I know that ROSI, return on security investment, is an older term, but it applies here. Like, given all the choices that your organization has in terms of addressing security risk, right? Are you making the right choices? So I'm taking the easy way out of Genya. Sorry, I'm not giving you a specific cloud metrics, but I'm framing them in the context of a security metrics program in general. Hope this helps.
Yeah.
This brings us to the last question. And it's really like a glance into the future. If you had a crystal ball, what do you think is next to come to CNAPP?
The most interesting thing about the technology industry is that there's multiple ways to solve problems, right? So what I think we'll see happening is, first of all, we'll continue to see a growth in CNAPP offerings. The number, there's numerous vendors with CNAPP out there. If you count the individual features of CNAPP, like CSPM or CWP, et cetera, I mean, our own database at Omdia has over 100 vendors, right? There's more. But if you count, if every one of those vendors can expand on the other features, right? So we will continue to see a growth in CNAPP because there is demand. Like, customers are clamoring for, help me solve cloud security. Everything that I have on cloud security, a CNAPP offering is a way to do this in one go, kind of thing. Never mind the problems that you called out, Dmitry, around, hey, big estate and so on. So we definitely expect to see CNAPP interest to continue to grow. We also expect to see, in some organizations, maybe not so much CNAPP growing as an individual product, but customers handling those needs through the existing tooling they have. So, for example, if you are an application security vendor that already does SAST, DAST, and IaaS, right, doing SCA, software composition analysis, is a relatively light lift, right? From there, if you're already doing software composition analysis, well, perhaps you can start doing posture management as well. So we expect to see people handle those individual problems differently. But so we expect to see growth in CNAPP. We expect to see growth in cloud adoption overall and people handling those cloud problems, either with CNAPP or with other tools. One of the things we didn't talk about too much, which I find super interesting, is where does CNAPP fit in relation to everything else that's happening in security, right? Where does CNAPP fit in relation to SASE? Where does CNAPP fit in relation to XDR or SIEM, right? And I think that we're going to see the future. We're going to start seeing better integration between CNAPP and particularly SOC operations. There is one more acronym for the soup, right? Which is CDR, Cloud Detection and Response, which is applying the different types of more cloud native security telemetry and monitoring, and then working alongside your modern SOC, right? Here at Omdia, we talk about threat detection, investigation, and response. My colleague Eric Parizo runs that practice, but there is the adjacency, right? So CNAPP is aggregating a lot of security functions, and those security functions have adjacencies. So we expect to see a strengthening of the relationship between CNAPP and those adjacencies, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Many companies are using a lot of open source tools to get some grasp of their cloud security posture or flaws in their cloud or infrastructure. Yep. And it seems like many of the commercial tools, they are taking an angle of, you know, building it on their own and tapping into various APIs. But do you see a market that will be able to actually consolidate data from many open source tools and bring them to kind of central panel or single point of view?
It's interesting to touch on open source, because that's one dynamic we didn't talk about too much. I'll go back to the organizational dynamics. One of the more interesting problems is that, depending on how your company is structured and what responsibilities you have as a team, you have options. So, for example, if your team, your pod of people, right, however, two pizza teams in the Amazon, the way that Amazon talks about, right, if your small team is responsible for everything around your offering, your microservice, including security, you may have the know-how and the interest in deploying security solutions with open source. Right? Cloud Custodian is a phenomenal CSPM tool, right? Falco is a workload runtime and so on. There is Trivy, others for software composition analysis, right? You can deploy those tools. And then depending how your organization works internally, you may be able to take the output of those and send them off to somewhere else. I think that's always a possibility, but I don't see that at scale. Right, I see that most organizations want to solve the problem in a commercially supported way. Right, there certainly is this model where if you're going to be supporting it yourself and security is your responsibility and not somebody else, you may want to choose that open source tooling, right? But integrating that into the broader framework, is into the rest of what your company is doing, what I mean, is not trivial. And to go back to the example you cited, hundreds of accounts, thousands of objects, multiple providers, and so on, it may be more efficient for the organization to bite the bullet and use a commercial tooling that makes it easier to bring it together. But there's certainly an opportunity for open source, but just not at large scale, I think, at least not now.
Once you go large scale, it becomes free as in a puppy.
Free as a puppy. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And not only free as a puppy, but I would argue that you have to, at that point in time, it's in your organization's best interest to not only support the infrastructure you have internally, but also support the development of the open source tool you're involved with. So that means issuing pull requests on the tool and participating on the tool and maybe supporting the development of the tool and so on. So yeah, it's not just use it for free kind of
thing. Nando, thank you very much. As you mentioned, we can talk for hours. So thank you for coming here.
I hope this was useful. Again, I can't tell you how much I was looking forward to this, gentlemen. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Fernando.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and join us for our next episode.